Kia ora, and good evening to you, from my house to yours. Well, how did you spend your first day at level two? Perhaps you were back in the office, perhaps you were back in a shop, or perhaps things look more normal tomorrow when the kids go back to school. I'm enjoying being able to plan some social things again. Anyway, let's turn our eyes to the things of God. E te whānau, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Our help is in the name of the eternal God who is making the heavens and the earth. Eternal Spirit, flow through our being and open our lips that our mouths may proclaim your praise. Let us worship the God who loves us. Amen. Our reading tonight comes from Luke 7, 36 to 50. Afterwards, Simeon, a Jewish religious leader, asked Jesus to his home for dinner. Jesus accepted the invitation. When he went to Simeon's home, he took his place at the table. Now in the neighbourhood there was an immoral woman of the streets, known to all to be a prostitute. When she heard that Jesus was at Simeon's house, she took an exquisite flask made from alabaster, filled it with the most expensive perfume, went right into the home of the Jewish religious leader, and in front of all the guests, she knelt at the feet of Jesus. Broken and weeping, she covered his feet with the tears that fell from her face. She kept crying and drying his feet with her long hair. Over and over, she kissed Jesus' feet. Then, as an act of worship, she opened her flask and anointed his feet with her costly perfume. When Simeon saw what was happening, he thought, "This man can't be a true prophet. If he really were a prophet, he would know what kind of sinful woman is touching him." Jesus said, "Simeon, I have a word for you." "Go ahead, teacher, I want to hear it," he answered. It's a story about two men who were deeply in debt. One owed the bank $100,000 and the other only owed $10,000. When it was obvious that neither of them would be able to repay their debts, the kind banker graciously wrote off the debts and forgave them all that they owed. "Tell me, Simeon, which of the two debtors would be more thankful? Which one would love the banker most?" Simeon answered, "I suppose it would be the one with the greater debt forgiven." "You're right," Jesus agreed. Then he spoke to Simeon about the woman still weeping at his feet. "Do you see this woman kneeling here? She is doing for me what you didn't bother to do. When I entered your home as your guest, you didn't think about offering me water to wash the dust off my feet. Yet she came into your home and washed my feet with her many tears and then dried my feet with her hair. You didn't even welcome me into your home with the customary kiss of greeting. But from the moment I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't take the time to anoint my head with fragrant oil, but she anointed my head and feet with the finest perfume. She has been forgiven of all her many sins. This is why she has shown me such extravagant love. But those who assume they have very little to be forgiven will love me very little." Then Jesus said to the woman at his feet, "All your sins are forgiven." All the dinner guests said among themselves, "Who is the one who can even forgive sins?" Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith in me has given you life. Now you may leave and walk in the ways of peace." What a beautiful story. Who do you relate to the most in that story? Perhaps you feel like Mary, broken and weighed down with sin. Or perhaps you're nodding along with Simeon. Maybe you're a bit judgy and value propriety over vulnerability. Maybe ask God to show you who you are more like while I read this next bit. Tomorrow I was supposed to fly to Auckland to attend the annual Sisters Conference. I've lost count of how many I've been to, but I remember the first one was when 9/11 happened, so I've been going on and off for 20 years. This year, the speaker is Lisa Harper. She's hilarious and is a great communicator of the love of God. Here's what she posted on Facebook a few days ago. She writes, "Yesterday was a pretty spectacular fail on my end. I was impatient with Missy. I snapped at John. I thought words that aren't in the Bible while stuck in traffic. And I talked more than I listened. My sins are not innocuous, and there have often been painful consequences as a result of my bad choices and behaviour. Sin puts distance between me and God, distance between me and other image bearers, and even more significantly, it's why Jesus sacrificed his life on the cross. Yet it's often from a guilty-as-charged vantage point that I find myself discombobulated with fresh gratitude over the fact that our Creator Redeemer's mercy is infinitely bigger than my foolishness, selfishness, impatience, or pride. God's immutable compassion continues to be what woos me towards repentance and back into the safety of his arms. Especially in those moments, I'm most aware of my ongoing need for forgiveness. Anybody else super grateful for the new mercies he hurled from heaven this morning that have helped fade the scar of yesterday's mishaps and mistakes?" She finishes with, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." From Lamentations 3. "And I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love." We are all in daily need of God's forgiveness and mercy and grace. Let's come before him now. God, we come before your throne of grace. We sit here in wonder of your love, mercy, and grace for us. Thank you for rescuing us from our sin. Jesus, thank you that our sin no longer separates us from God because of what you did for us at the cross, where your blood flowed in our place. You took our punishment upon yourself, and now we live in your resurrected glory. Thank you that we are alive in you, and you are alive in us. And God, we bring before you now the things that we have thought, done, or said today that were not of you. Thank you that you forgive us and remove our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west. May we have the attitude of Mary, who we read about earlier. May we worship you extravagantly, completely, and fully aware of our need for your grace and forgiveness. We repent of our judgmental attitudes, where we have looked at others and considered ourselves to be better. We repent of our pride. We repent of our begrudging spirit. Help us to love others lavishly, to be quick to extend grace to everyone we meet, especially those who we think don't deserve it. And God, as we go about our day tomorrow, may we be people of love, agents of hope, ministers of your mercy and peace. May the love and grace we have received from you pour out into the lives of the people that we come in contact with. And Lord, we bring before you now the names of the people that we hold dear who do not know you. God, would you reveal yourself to them? God, may they come to know you as their personal Saviour. And now, as we come to the end of our prayer time, we pray for all those we love, for our church family and for ourselves, using the words that Jesus gave us. Please join in, using whatever version you know. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. God bless you, my friend. God keep you. God make his face to shine upon you and give you his peace. Ka kite anō.